Hi there, welcome to podcast number 6 on our GCSE Elizabethan England revision. We're going to be concentrating today on Elizabeth's religious settlement. This is an area people find very difficult, so I'll try to go slow and break it down for you. So obviously, when Elizabeth came to the throne, she had the massive problem of religion. We talked about last podcast that Elizabeth was a Protestant, and England had gone through quite a journey, keep changing from Protestant to Catholic, etc. And she needed to sort out the problem of religion. So in 1559, she made a religious settlement. And this was to set out what was going to go on in her country with religion. And she wanted to make a compromise, to have a way of working with religion that would be acceptable to both Protestants and Catholics. So the religious settlement in 1559, a great piece of work by Elizabeth, she attempted to try to compromise, to keep the power, but keep both Protestants and Catholics happy. So what we have in the religious settlement is various acts. So we have the Act of Supremacy. This was mainly about power. And in the Act of Supremacy, it really set out how the church worked in terms of power. And Elizabeth became the supreme governor. She didn't call herself head of the church, which was pleasing to some Catholics, and because they thought the Pope was the head of the church. She called herself the supreme governor of the Church of England. Now, in order to keep that power, all the clergy and all the royal officials, they had to swear and promise an oath of allegiance to her. So the Act of Supremacy, it was all about cementing Elizabeth's power. We also have the Act of Uniformity. So remember, a uniform that you wear at school keeps everything the same. You know what you're wearing, you know how to wear it. So the Act of Uniformity, that was about the appearance of the churches and how religious services were to be held. An example of that is the Mass service. So basically, she deliberately blurred the lines there so that, it kind of fitted both religious groups. And one of the things is it required everyone to attend church. And if you didn't, you wouldn't be executed or anything like that. You would be fined. So what she was trying to do is getting everything as she wanted it, the church is looking as she wanted it, and also getting everyone to church. So we've got the Act of Supremacy was about power, the Act of Uniformity was getting everyone to church and the appearance of the church, and the third one was the Royal Injunctions. Now, this is like a set of instructions that showed how she was going to enforce the Act of Supremacy and the Act of Uniformity. It included instructions on how people should worship, and it included, that the churches were going to be checked upon, etc., to make sure everything was being done as she wanted it to. So the reason why she wanted the religious settlement is she wanted to settle the problem of religion. So she did lots of things to be inclusive and to compromise and please as many people as possible. An example of that you could talk about is the wording of the new prayer book. So you could interpret it in different ways. So the Catholics could interpret it to fit their belief system and the Protestants the same. An example of that is the Mass service that we talked about before, is the Catholic religion believed that the bread and wine became the body and blood of Christ, whereas the Protestants believed it represented, and she deliberately worded it so it kind of met all needs. So the impact of the religious settlement. So people accepted it. So a lot of people think that there was all a big hoo-ha about it. There wasn't. 8,000 clergy of about 10,000 accepted it, and the 2,000 that didn't, they lost their jobs basically. And many Marian bishops, they were Catholic bishops who served under Mary Tudor. They had to be replaced, and many of them fled to France, the Marian bishops. So you could use the Marian bishops as people that didn't agree with the religious settlement. Normal people, everyday life went on, they were fine about it. And basically, what we've got here is the religious settlement in 1559 really helps to settle problems. And you could argue, because there wasn't any revolts or plots for another 10 years, you could argue it was relatively successful. Right, it's time for your five questions, so go and grab your pens and paper. Right, question number one. What year was the religious settlement? What year was the religious settlement? Number two. Of the three parts of the religious settlement, which part made the Queen supreme governor of the church? So of the three parts of the religious settlement, which part made the Queen a supreme governor of the church? Number three, what did the royal injunctions do? What was it a set of? So number three, what did the royal injunctions do? What was it a set of? Number four, which part of the religious settlement was mainly about the appearance and religious services? So which part of the religious settlement was mainly about appearance and religious services? And number five, out of the 10,000 clergy, how many accepted the religious settlement? So out of the 10,000 clergy, how many accepted the religious settlement? So well done, everyone. You may have to listen to this a few times. The religious settlement is an area that people find a little bit difficult to keep in their minds. You're doing really, really well. Keep it up. Bye.